Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we are glad to have you here. We're also pleased to welcome back to the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for quite a while now, he's been stopping by every month on the first Wednesday in this 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about cooking, and we always have a lot of fun. Exchanging stories and cooking tips and recipes. And the way we do that is that he picks some topic, something that he think would be interesting to talk about. And we have talked about particular dishes and have said, how do you make this thing? What's your secret? We have talked sometimes about cooking from different parts of the world and different parts of this country. We have also talked about key ingredients, a featured thing. And that's kind of what we're doing here this morning. And it was his suggestion to talk about the persimmon. Now, I have to say that I've never eaten a persimmon. And I think for a lot of people it might be kind of mysterious, and not because they've never heard of it. You've heard of persimmon, but I started asking around, and I couldn't find anybody who had actually ever eaten one. And so then I went on, as I do now, I went online and did a little surfing and came across some information about persimmon. And at least from what I said it was, in fact, that these were things that had originated in Asia and then were brought to the United States and were cultivated in California starting in the 1800s. But now I'm sitting here talking about this with my friend here, Mr. Moore, and he says, well, in fact, there are in the New World, there are wild persimmon. So there are, in fact, the Asian versions. And it's, as I look at the names of the varieties, they mostly seem to be Japanese. They're to have Japanese sounding names like the Hachiya and the Fuyu. I guess they're the two big ones here. And, but see, now I didn't know that, in fact, oh yes, persimmons do grow here and they do grow wild. And it would be the kind of thing that maybe, as you say, maybe your grandma or grandpa would have picked them up and done things with them. But now that we're sort of past that picking things up off the ground and preserving them stage, maybe that's why that punks like me don't know anything about persimmons. So what started you thinking about the persimmon?
It's persimmon time.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're right on everything you've said. It's first, you're right that there's no information. After I decided I wanted to do this, I realized that the truth of the matter is the information that I want lies in people's experiences, because this is really a regional, very old, personal thing to do. Everybody, let's do persimmons. And for exactly the reasons that you gave, the two persimmons that are available in the grocery stores, and I think there are some now. It seems to me like I've seen them recently, maybe just a little before Thanksgiving. The Fuyu, and the Fuyu is a squatty tomato-looking device. Mm-hmm. And then what's the name of the other one?
The Hachiya.
Yeah, Hachiya. Hachiya is a heart-shaped one. And that's the one that grows in California now successfully. I have a friend who has a big tree in the backyard. Oh, they are so good. But I digress. My experience with persimmons was little tiny round ones. They're not as big as a half dollar. And they are called in the vernacular possum persimmons, because the possums eat them. But they can't eat them until it freezes. So it has to be a fruit that stays on the tree. It freezes. And one of the reasons, I will warn you, don't just go out and pick up a persimmon. Well, you pick it up, yes. Don't take one off the tree and try to eat it. It will pucker you inside out, and your lips will curl, and your tongue will get fuzzy. I mean, it's awful. Right. So that is killed with the frost. That is changed chemically with the frost. So as soon as it freezes, then it turns into a nice sweetness. And as soon as it freezes, it turns into a soft pulp. There are about 4 to 6 seeds inside one of these little round pieces. And as I say, the persimmons then are eaten by possums. And so affectionately called possum persimmons. In Japan, the two persimmons that are sold there confused a guy like me who knew these little ones, because the persimmons there are hard, and you peel them and slice them and make make salads and shapes like salads. And it's also in Thai cooking. There is a green persimmon Thai salad that is made with sort of shoestrings done up that way. But so I only knew, oh, they've got to be soft and they've got to be real good. So I was waiting for my bus I'm talking 50 years ago, in Japan. I was waiting for a bus, and there was a little fruit market right there, and it was October, November, and here were little piles of persimmons sitting on a paper plate, and oh gosh, they were 70 yen a piece, and I thought, oh, I would feel them, and they were hard. I said, I don't want these. And I looked over, and here was a little pitiful plate with three for 10 yen. And they were soft. I said, oh, they've got them. They've got them. The guy looked at me like, you're going to get those?
You gaijin. What
are you? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What do you know about this? I said, oh, yes, yes. And then, of course, I started eating one right away. Well, he was just appalled, because it's not the way you eat a persimmon. You don't just suck it up, all that. Well, that's when I learned that, oh, this is the way it is served, because restaurants would serve it and do things. So anyway, I do know that you can eat a Japanese persimmon that is very soft. In fact, in looking around for recipes, of which there are almost none, and there are none in none of my major cookbooks. I mean, it's just like, sorry, that doesn't exist. So I went to my regional cookbooks, and indeed I found the wild persimmon flavors and tastes. But all one of the books said, you can get a fuyu and hachiya. Yeah. And just let them sit, and then let them soften until, and they should feel, I thought this was a funny description, they should feel like a balloon full of water. They'd be
that's
exactly right. And then you can use that in any of these recipes for persimmon pudding and that sort of taste. I have not done that, but I know that it would be all right and the taste would be okay. So, I haven't located, but it seems to me that I saw some persimmons not too long ago, because somebody held one up and said, "What is this?" And I answered them. Persimmons do exist, and if you're going to make some of these recipes that I have, you can get these orange big ones. You only take two or three, because you only need 2 cups of pulp. But here's the secret I will reveal.
Yes, Chairman Moore.
If you walk out of the south entrance of the main library, onto, is it Armory or Goodwin? The south entrance of the main library.
The south entrance of the main library.
Because it faces the east. So you come out of that south end, and you are right on the street.
I guess that would be Armory.
I think it's Armory. Yeah. It's Armory. Cross Armory Street, and you're in a kind of a little area that is directly behind the old architecture building.
Okay.
Right in front of you are 5 gorgeous persimmon trees. And every year at this time of the year, there are persimmons all over the ground, and people are going, and I'm running over there gathering them up. Those are the only ones that I know on the campus, but they are there, and there are 5 of them. And it's funny who you meet gathering persimmons at that spot, because there will be somebody who's, oh, I have to have these. You don't need a lot. You need only 2 cups of of you separate them from the seeds and the little calyx that is on them, and they will be on, if they're on the ground, that means they've fallen off, and if they've fallen off, that means they've frozen. So don't pick them off the tree. That's my secret source of persimmons right now. wild persimmons are not. I have to be careful how I say this because I. Oh, they're not grown commercially. They're not grown commercially. However, there are people who will go pick the wild persimmons and save the pulp and sell the pulp. And I have a source that a friend brought me some just the other day, and this is a little far away for right now. Lost Creek Orchard in Greenup. That's way down south of Charleston on Highway 130. And there is this Lost Creek Orchard, which is just outside of town, and they have some frozen pulp because I now have some in my icebox. So that is one place it's available. The other place that you would have found it in, had you gone there, would have been at the Covered Bridge Festival in Rock County. Or is it Park County?
Park County,
in Indiana. That's about an hour's drive away. And my feeling is that even if you went there now, somebody there would have some frozen because the festival was in October. And I kind of have a feeling that was a little bit too early to get a frozen persimmon. So they may keep it from year to year. I do not know, because that's very early in October. And the reason I thought of this is that we haven't had a freeze here until very late. Our freeze was quite late. So I do know that they are ready now. Then I spoke to someone else who said that in southern Illinois, they weren't quite ripe yet. Because, you know, it's been equally warm there, but a lot of people who have persimmon trees in this town tell me that yes, they've already dropped and everything. So the persimmons in this immediate area are certainly ripe enough to do these recipes. Then it was, how do I find a recipe? Because what I wanted, I knew very good and well, belonged to a grandmother, you know, and that it was in no book. Nothing. I did find an absolutely, you know how Emeril's always saying, oh, this is not rocket science. Well, it is. It is when Emeril is making a persimmon steam pudding. It's rocket science. It made me laugh because I've got it here. It's very long, very complex, and not exactly what was basically done. Then I've got a recipe. Now, one of the books that gave me three or four recipes was the one from our own heritage museum when they put out a cookbook quite a few years ago, come to think of it, but I believe they probably still have some copies of it. But there are four local recipes by local folk, and they are good ones. I have those. We'll share with that. And then I have one done by a grandmother on a piece of paper with a doggy on it, yeah. And I have the two things that are I finally found them, got them. They were given to me. One is persimmon pudding, which isn't a pudding. It's kind of like it's kind of like a gingerbread cake. There's flour, there's sugar and flour, and eggs and margarine and baking powder. And things like that. So it makes a kind of a gingerbread like cake. And then there are persimmon cookies. both of those are found over in Park County when they're selling the persimmon stuff there. I like the persimmon pudding because it can be very, very soft, like it isn't baked all the way through, and you eat it with whipped cream. Oh. And it's a very interesting taste. I can't tell you what a persimmon tastes like. I mean, it is a unique taste, but it'll be sweet, and it'll make you think of dates. In fact, I was almost to the point of saying, well, I'll get a date pudding recipe and say, switch it, you know, because a date pudding is very, very close to a persimmon pudding. But I think that they're exotic is one of the reasons I sort of, my eyes sort of roll back and I sort of swoon when I think even of picking one up in the south of the library. I never quite revealed to anyone that I was eating them right in front of them. I would do it a little more discreetly, but I couldn't wait. I would have them right away. So anyway, that's my background on hunting, and I found some recipes, but I want to hear what people have to say about their own experience with persimmons.
Okay, well, we have some callers.
Oh, great.
Also, our man on the board, Jason Croft, would like you to move your microphone a little bit closer to your own self.
There you can hear me.
Looks
better.
Excellent. And we do have several callers and people who would like to call in here. This is our monthly cooking program. The guest, the man we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, has been stopping by here monthly for quite a long time, always on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour. We talk about cooking, and he's the guy who comes up with topics, and he said he wanted to talk about persimmons just because this would be the, in the olden days, this would be the time that you would get them, because, as he explained, you can't pick them off the tree. They're too astringent. That's the word.
Astringent.
That's the word I see in all of the everything I've read about them.
Astringent.
too astringent. But once they go through this freeze, then it changes them, and they get to the point where you actually can eat them. We have a number of callers here, so let's start right in. The first person is in Edgar County on line 4. Hello.
Doyne, where have you been?
Where have I been?
I mean, your knowledge of persimmons is limited.
Yes, it is.
You obviously weren't raised in central Illinois.
No, I was not.
That's it, because this is the heartland.
Yes, it is. And I mean, I know those facts, but you're right. And that's really what I'm looking for is, how do you do it here?
Well, first of all, it's an arduous task to make persimmon pulp. You use a Foley mill, and you put the persimmons in there after you pulled off the little tops.
Yes.
You know, and the little stems also. Don't
and
put
the
those in
no,
there.
Little stems, yes.
And then you put them in this Foley mill, and you just grind.
And separate them from the seeds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the seeds are about the size of a bean.
Yeah, and another station in town is always cutting them in two to tell you what the winter is going to be.
Oh, that's right, the persimmon
yes.
seeds.
Yes.
To see whether there's a snow shovel or a spoon.
Supposed to be a spoon this year.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's supposed to mean that we're going to have a lot of snow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, remember the cookbook that was put out about, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Which one?
By WILL Radio.
On
TV, remember you had the big cooking
yes.
thing and
yes.
all that, and everybody sending recipes?
Yes.
If you go to that cookbook, you have some of mine in there, and guess what they're for?
I apologize for not paying attention to something that I had a lot to do with. I did not go to that source.
Yeah,
I
even wrote a poem about persimmons, and nobody published it.
Well...
Well, let me just read you the first
yes, let's answer. Hear it.
All right. A prerequisite of Midwestern cooking, taught settlers by Native Americans centuries ago, is the last fruit to ripen after the frost has come to fall.
Yes. That's good. I don't know where I have been. I know I've been here. I know I've been here 45 years, but...
That was my first Socratean question to you.
Well, give us a recipe.
By the way, David, that was a great program you had yesterday.
Oh, well, thank you. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now, you want to know about persimmons?
Yes.
And how to cook them?
Yes.
There are two books, recipe books on persimmons. I have them both.
You do? I went to the bookstore and they couldn't even find the word.
The thing is, you have to know who.
Uh-huh.
All right. One you can get from the Indiana State Museum Bookstore.
Okay.
Which is Old Fashioned Persimmon Recipes.
That's its name, Old Fashioned.
Yeah. It's published by Bear Wallow Books of Nashville, Indiana.
Bear Wallow.
Yeah. And, you know, it has the steamed pudding.
Yes.
The buttermilk, the, just, it has custard, it has, puddings for diabetics, it has persimmon bread.
Oh, yes.
Which is very good. Muffins, persimmon cake with coconut even, and cream cheese. You can make a really, what it turns out to be is it turns out to be a cheesecake with persimmon. Very rich.
It is a rich taste, yeah. Isn't it? But try to describe that taste to anybody. Hey, I can't come up with a description.
It's like liquid velvet.
Yeah. Well, oh yes, it is. That's good.
Yeah, and eating them raw is just absolutely the greatest sensation in the world.
If they're sweet,
well,
yes.
Of course, but yet at the same time, we're running very close to when they're rotting on the ground.
That's true. It is a very short period of time, yes. Now, if you were to make something, what would be the favorite thing you would make with persimmons?
I like the cookies.
The cookies, all right.
Yeah. And also you can add things to those which make all sorts of different...
Yeah, some nuts and...
yeah, and also persimmon ice cream is delicious.
Persimmon ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, let's try your cookies recipe.
And also, let me give you another book recipe.
Okay.
Okay. It's Mitchell, Indiana.
Mitchell.
Where this comes from. They have a persimmon festival every fall.
Oh, okay.
And the lady that I correspond with down there, Dimple Green, she published this book a number of years ago, and you can write to Dimple, and that happened to be my aunt's name, so that's why I was attracted to her. Dimple's Delight, Route 4, Box 53, Mitchell, Indiana.
Route 4, Box what?
53.
Box 53 in Mitchell, Indiana.
Yeah, and that's 47446. That is also a very good book. And of course, I started. I have as many persimmon trees as the University of Illinois.
You got five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an overkill, believe me. But anyway, what do you want? A recipe for cookies?
Well, what your favorite? Yes.
Well, I go around trying everything, and you can even make persimmon sauces.
Yes.
So
for ice creams and things like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the basic recipe, all right. Are you going to give one for persimmon pudding?
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't I give one for bread? I like that.
All right, bread.
Okay. You got 2 cups of sifted flour.
Yes.
3 teaspoons of baking powder.
3 little teas of baking powder.
Yeah. 1/2 teaspoon of salt.
1/2 tea of salt.
1/2 teaspoon of soda.
1/2 teaspoon of soda.
1 cup of persimmon pulp.
1 cup.
Pulp. 2 eggs beaten.
2 eggs, yes.
Yeah. 1 cup of sugar.
1 cup of sugar. Brown or white?
White. I imagine you could probably use brown, but my family always used white. 1/2 cup of cooking oil.
1/2 cup of oil.
3/4 cup of nuts chopped.
Nuts, yes.
And you sift the flour, the salt, the baking powder, and the soda.
All the dry things, yes.
Yeah. And then you put pulp into it and add the eggs, beat thoroughly, add the sugar and continue to beat, then add the flour mixture slowly and mix well. And add the oil, then fold in the nuts, and put it in a greased pan, and bake 45 to 50 minutes, 350 degrees.
350 degrees. Yeah. I've been making a lot of nut bread since our last program. I've sort of gone crazy with that. So
it's delicious.
Yes, it is. That sounds very, very good.
Yeah, and the thing is that all I can say is that if you haven't had the experience, you can overdue on persimmons.
Try
when you have so many of them.
Try it. No, that's good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That gets us off to a good start.
Well, and I hope that you now know that there are resources, including WILL's cookbook.
There, I'm embarrassed. But nevertheless, I will take care of that as soon as I get home.
All right.
All right. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're here this morning. It's the first Wednesday of the month, so that means we're talking about cooking with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And his thought was he wanted to talk about persimmons. And it looks like there's just all kinds of persimmon fans out there.
I know it. I know there is.
And for, you know, one of my favorite things when I'm looking for recipes is this website that I've talked about,
yes,
Epicurious.
I couldn't find anything.
And that, well, I have it here up on my screen, and they got 14 persimmon recipes here.
14?
Yeah, 14.
I couldn't find two on Epicurious.
Really? You
went to
recipes and then put in persimmon?
Yes.
Well, my friend, I could print any of these for you. We've got persimmon pool bread pudding, sherbet, rice pilaf, braised pork with fuyu persimmon and avocado salad, hachia persimmon puree, salad of fall greens with persimmons and hazelnuts, lamb chops and fresh persimmon chutney, persimmon salad with sweet ginger vinaigrette, persimmon sorbet, spiced persimmon chutney, caramelized pear shallots with persimmon, sautéed persimmons and green beans with chives. 14 recipes right there.
Well,
we also got some here that Harriet Williamson pulled off the internet.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'll give you that. Here, you can have those. So, we got persimmon recipes. We got plenty of them.
Okay.
Well, let's talk with some more folks here who are listening. The next caller up is in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hi. I've got some persimmon experiences, but it's from the West Coast. And the first thing is in the West Coast, there is no freeze.
That's right.
So we're dealing with a whole different kettle of fish.
It is indeed.
So in Southern California, I had friends who had lots of persimmon trees. It's the large heart-shaped variety.
Yes, the
hachia.
Hachia.
And there was no need to wait for a freeze.
No.
You could let it ripen naturally and let it get soft, as you say, like a balloon full of water, but you always risked that there would be rotting at that point.
That's true.
And an alternative way was to take the persimmon and put it in the freezer at a certain point.
Oh, yes.
And then if you waited a while after it was in the freezer, you could defrost it, and it would be
softened,
no longer astringent.
Uh-huh.
And I never could get to cook with it because I always ate them. I couldn't resist. I loved those persimmons so much that I would say it's one of my favorite fruits. And I've eaten lots of foods cooked with them, but I always ate them as quickly as they became available and as often as they became available.
Oh, that's good.
And then in Northern California, the other variety,
Fuyu,
was available. And again, in most of Northern California, you don't have a hard freeze and you rarely have a freeze.
Yes.
And you eat them hard rather than waiting until they become soft. And the astringency never seemed to be a problem with
varieties
in Northern California.
No, it is not. Yeah. And they taste good, and they're used kind of like a salad, sliced up julienne or chunks. I know the Japanese salad, and recently I've learned the Thailand salad with green persimmons.
Yeah, and it could be ripened and used as if it was an apple and cut up in quarters or even further, as if it was an apple.
And yes, and you can cook that down and make a pulp out of it after you chop it up. That's another way of cooking with them, yes.
So that's all I have to say. Thank you for bringing up the
fruit. I love it. I love passion on fruit. Passion fruit. I love passion about fruit. That's really good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Right.
Thank you. Let's go to, we have someone in Vermilion County on line number three. Next. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was recalling an outing that the Illinois Native Plant Society had a few years ago, and the best persimmon pudding I ever tasted, and the lady who cooked it had prepared the pan by pouring about 3 or 4 millimeters of maple syrup before she put
the pan
in.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that sound good?
And then the whipped cream was flavored with maple sugar.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that was great.
But
I made persimmon cookies for a work day that we had a couple years ago. And I had not, boy, that job of getting the pulp.
That's what we were just told. He said it's a chore.
Yeah, the cookies were just so good. But unfortunately, they were, about every third one had a seed still in it.
Oh, yeah.
But the cookie recipe I used had some golden seedless raisins. And
oh, raisins, yes.
Yeah, they were great. And then a cup chopped walnuts. Now, I use black walnuts because that keeps
Oh, that'd be
on.
Very rich.
Uh-huh.
Oh, black walnuts. Oh, black walnuts and persimmon cookies.
That recipe for the bread, and I thought, well, a three-fourths cup of nuts would have to be black walnuts.
Black walnuts. You want black walnuts,
truly
yes.
Truly Illinois native. There is, you mentioned the Covered Bridge Festival.
Yes.
I have bought canned persimmon pulp over there.
Now, I have found a couple of recipes that refer to canned persimmon pulp, but I have no idea where you buy it.
Yeah, that's the only place I've ever seen it.
And the only thing I know was this Lost Creek Orchard in Greenup, and I do know that's available, but it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever find cans of it, I'm going to buy them up.
Yeah, I wish.
Because
I had
November only comes once a year.
Right. Well, I have three persimmon trees in my yard.
Oh, good.
Planted by me, but just brought by whatever possum or raccoon.
Yes, of course.
By, I guess.
Of course.
And a friend had told me, you don't pick persimmons, you pick up persimmons, which you have stated before.
Yep.
And so what I had been doing is when I go, you know, they drop at intervals and just plunk them in a Ziploc bag and toss them in the freezer.
Oh,
and then
sure.
Until I had enough to work with.
Sure.
Oh, that is a sticky, gooey job. But at any rate, the end product is worth it, I guess.
I think so.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's see. You're having a good time.
Oh, I'm
you?
Having a ball. This is exactly what I wanted to hear, because none of it is gourmet. It's grandmother.
All right. Let's go to a caller south of Sydney in online here, number two. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing? This
good.
Is more fun.
I'll say it is.
Oh, tickled. I'm glad you asked for this, Doyle. I was just remembering my folks and I used to go. Well, it was my folks, and I just had to go along picking up persimmons in the fall when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And we would just go for a day trip, take a picnic.
Uh-huh.
Go for a day trip. And they knew where in the state parks, I guess it was. I don't even remember, but it was probably southern Indiana.
Yes,
southern
indeed, Illinois, I'm sure.
Indiana. And we now have one tree, which occasionally puts out one persimmon.
Oh, dear. That's pretty limited in the cookies
with one persimmon.
Very small persimmon pudding with it. I was going to tell you, my mother's recipe for persimmon pudding
yes.
is not like bread.
Pudding, yes.
It's really pudding. And I
All
missed
right.
the first 20 minutes of your program this morning, so I don't know if you've even
No, done. We haven't. We haven't done a persimmon pudding yet. I've just been chattering along.
Well, you talked about the persimmon pudding being like bread, and most of them are.
Yes.
But this one is baked in the oven at 250 degrees for 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, 250 degrees for 3 hours.
3 to 4, stirring down every half hour, 45
minutes. Aha, uh-huh. Yes. Yes, you don't break the crust, but you get that the dried part on the top worked back into the moist part.
Right.
But 250 would certainly keep that, yes. Oh, okay.
And it does have flour in it.
Yes.
But when it comes out, it's just this wonderful, sweet, gooey, and she always poured, we had milk rather than cream.
Oh, really?
Put a spoonful or two in a dish and then poured milk over it.
And milk over it. Okay.
So that cuts the richness. It is so rich. Because this was a pint of pulp with 3 cups of sugar, 3 eggs.
3 cups of sugar.
You want me to slow down?
Well, yes. And
okay.
3 eggs. And how much pulp?
A pint.
1 pt
and
pulp.
I still have my father's Foley mill.
Oh, my. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well used. And then 1.25 quarts of milk.
1.25 quarts. Oh, my.
She made it in a gallon crock.
I see. Yes.
And then a small tea of soda. Cup and a half of flour.
1.5 cups of flour.
Now, I went and put, reduced that by about a third. So, and I've done that with a, in a smaller container.
Oh yes, because you'd have one egg and one cup of sugar. Yes,
right.
Uh-huh.
Right. It was easy to cut down. So you add the sugar to the eggs, follow it by the pulp and the milk.
Yes. Okay.
And combine the soda and the flour and stir that into the liquid.
That's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's also very liquidy, and so it's going to take a long time for that to cook down.
Right.
But you stir. Now you put it in a, let's see, as I recall, in kind of a square pan.
Well, what she used was a gallon stone crock.
Oh, she put it in the crock, and the crock in the oven.
Crock goes in the oven, yeah.
Well, that'd be a lot easier to stir.
Oh yeah, no corners.
Yep.
Right.
And you stir that. Yes. Well, that's great.
Every 30, 45 minutes till it reduces, basically.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. Now, tell me, is it too late to be picking up persimmons?
No.
I know some people in town. I can't get my one or two off Daddy's tree, but I can go into Sydney. I know where there's some trees.
There might be some there. I mean, they could be a little bit more damaged if they've been lying on the ground, but it hasn't. It would be all right.
They tend to, when I picked them up there a few years ago, they had all the sticks and bits of leaves.
Yes, and you have to take all that off.
Yeah.
Dogs like them a lot, too. Yeah. It isn't only possums that like persimmons. Dogs like persimmons.
Oh.
So watch out.
I'll fight them off.
Oh, that's good. Oh, a persimmon. This persimmon pudding is rare. I will tell you that from what I've gathered.
Uh-huh.
I only found one recipe that referred to one that you had to stir several different times, and that would be very much a pudding rather than a bread.
Than a bread, yeah.
Oh boy, I can hardly wait.
This is my family recipe. Well, I tell you what.
And where is this from?
You know, I don't know. It's my mother's recipe.
Uh-huh.
And I assume she got it from her mother, who
probably
was raised, born and raised here
in Illinois.
Yeah.
So it's an Illinois. Yes.
Yep. As far as I know.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Illinois pudding.
That's right.
That's it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks
right.
so much.
Bye. We have only about 10 minutes
I'm
left.
I'm sorry. This should have been a two-hour program.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Well, the guy here is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Once a month, we're on the show here talking about cooking. So I was on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we always have a good time. And his thought this time around was he wanted to hear about persimmons, recipes for persimmon. And we've heard from some people who are great fans of the persimmon. Let's go on. The next call is
Passionate Reservoir.
Champagne, I guess. Champagne Line 1. Hello.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to mention, first of all, it's Gregory Drive. By on the south side of the library.
It is Gregory.
Oh, okay.
It was a G, yes, not an A. Gregory.
David Kinley Hall, thank you so much for revealing my secret persimmon snatching.
Oh, no, no! I'm sorry if I have destroyed it.
Oh, no. It, as you said, it's not like you need to take very many.
No. And of course, you don't really reveal yourself to people who are passing by.
Yeah, exactly.
You sort of are tying your shoes as you're picking them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll enjoy as much of a secret as we can.
Oh, it's not a problem.
Yes.
But one thing I wanted to mention was I too was born and raised in central Illinois, and the one thing we always had was persimmon bars, kind of like date bars.
Oh.
And I did a brief search online to see if anyone did anything. There's a website called allrecipes.com.
Uh-huh.
And they've got about 20 persimmon recipes, half of which are persimmon pudding, of course.
Let's see. Now, what is it called? All recipes?
All recipes. That's all one word.
All How do you spell recipe?
R-E-C-I-P-E-S.
P-E-S. See, I wouldn't spell it that way.
Allrecipes.com.
.com.
And there is a recipe on there for, see, again, it's something my grandmother used to make, and so I don't have a recipe for it. But there is one on there for persimmon bars. I'm not sure if it's the same.
It would come pretty close because it would give you, it would give you that kind of like a heavy brownie.
Yeah, I was going to say, essentially, I mean, you could probably take any recipe for anything like a date bar.
I think so, too. I that's what I was prepared to do was say, well, we'll get date things and change them. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and that's definitely something I was raised on. But for us, like you said, you know, or like one of the previous callers said, for me it was just a matter of crossing the street, going off into the woods,
yes,
and coming back with persimmons and blackberries and things like that.
Well, as I said, wild persimmons are not grown commercially, as far as I know, and as far as one piece of reference said. But the Japanese ones are commercially made, and if you want to know my personal opinion, I think it's an invasion. I don't approve of using furus and hachias.
I would certainly like to see them in a grocery store, but again, I wouldn't think they'd have much of a shelf life.
No, they wouldn't. I think this is why the Lost Creek Orchard in Greenup freezes them.
Do it.
But then somewhere I found references to canned persimmon pulp, but I have no idea who that would be.
I've never seen that.
I haven't either, but one caller did, and one reference referred to a canned.
To be honest, I've never looked for it, though. So.
Well, that's another thing. I haven't either. I don't know if it would be in the pie and pudding area or where, but anyway.
Well, again, thank you.
Yes, persimmon bars. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing up such a great topic.
I love it.
And now people who haven't tried them, it's Gregory Drive by David Kinley Hall.
You're right.
Head over.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yes.
I'm really afraid now there's going to be a riot or something over there. There's going to be a mob.
Oh, but they'll all be happy. They're going to be so excited to taste a real persimmon.
Okay.
Before the possum got there.
Let's go to the next caller, and that would be in Aurora. Line number 4. Hello.
What a wonderful introduction to something I don't know anything about.
Come on.
No, you know where I'm from.
Yes, you're too far north.
The only way I have any introduction to them is being a bird watcher. I do know that the birds like to eat them. I don't know what specific birds, but the birds like to eat them too.
Yeah.
So you have somebody else
would be soft,
in on your product.
Yes. Because when they freeze, they get soft, and a lot of birds eat the fruit off of trees after it's frozen. Yeah.
This is a wonderful introduction to something, and I appreciate it, and want to wish you the season's greetings.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear from you again.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye.
Bye. Well, see, you just never know.
Well, that's the kind of response I'm thinking of rather than, oh, yes. I'll just take a moment to tell you again. I did find on the Food TV a huge, long recipe, and I laugh because it's a recipe from Emeril, and Emeril always keeps saying...
it's an entire...
It's an opus, and it has to be in here's Emeril. This is Emeril's. It's equally long. There is a kind where you do a sort of a traditional steamed pudding where you have to put it in a pudding mold with a lid on it and everything. That's what Emeril's is. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Emeril, you did not come from Illinois either, because I don't know of a steamed recipe from Illinois, though that's just because I don't know of it. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I love this. This is great.
Well, we'll try to get at least one more caller.
Oh,
by the way, the gentleman, the first caller, the man who called from Edgar County,
uh-huh.
He says that at the address that he gave,
yes,
you can get canned persimmons.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see where.
And I'm not.
From Dimple. From Dimple's Delight, Route 4, Box 53.
I guess so.
Yes.
I guess. Yes. Jason Croft says yes. That's it. Yeah. Okay. So people are would like to try this and they can't go out and
harvest them.
Well,
there it is. Dimple, I think it was Dimple's Delight.
Yeah.
Route 4, Box 53, 47446 in Mitchell, Indiana. Canned good. Well, I'll just skip over there one of these
days.
Right.
We'll see if we can get at least one more caller, and the next person in line would be in Robinson, line 3. Hello.
Yes, Doyle.
Hello.
I would like to say that although your advice about not eating them off the tree is 99% true, I have a big one from which I can pick them when they're soft before a frost, and they're as sweet as they can be.
Oh, before a frost.
Before a frost, yes. Another thing, a bit of advice, you can mash the pulp, and I have successfully made puddings out of fermented pulp, so don't worry
about
them being too overripe.
Yes.
the alcohol, if anything, gets baked off, and it's perfectly good to eat. Final tip, substitute cardamom for cinnamon.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Cinnamon
is
so powerful that it overpowers the persimmon.
Of course, I have a passion for cardamom. It's almost, I can taste it. It's almost like a carrot halva, an Indian dish made with carrots and cardamom. And it would be that exotic taste. Cardamom is used in Finnish breads and in Indian cooking. And I'm not exact. Well, man, for your persimmons, I guess. That's great.
Too many women cooks in the provinces relied on cinnamon because that's
yes.
the only available spice.
Yes, that would be about all there was.
Yeah, it overpowers pumpkin and pumpkin pie.
Yes.
I've used cardamom in place of it and baked what people said was the greatest pumpkin pie ever eaten.
I have a friend who uses cardamom to fry apples in.
Uh-huh.
And equally, it's pretty exotic. Well, I'll remember that. Thank you.
Okay, and the seeds in my persimmons,
yes.
other than the size of a bean, are frequently the size of an almond.
Oh, larger. Well, you have a pretty rare example. If you have a big fruit on them, that's kind of exciting.
Well, they vary in size, but some are large, some are small. I could go out today and still pick some.
Great. Well, do. And make a pudding, or make a persimmon bar,
uh-huh. okay.
and make the fella happy that someone else is eating a persimmon bar.
Thanks
thank you.
For the show.
All right, thank you very much. Well, you know, I think we're going to have to stop.
Oh.
We have a couple of people we can't take. My apologies, but we're simply going to have to leave it for this time around. We'll see if we can get a couple of these recipes printed up if people want to write
yeah.
to us.
Yeah, I've got a bunch that I'm going to give you, and they're good ones.
All right. And we'll see you again
February.
February. Not in January.
Not in January.
Okay, in February.
In February.
All right. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our official chef in residence here, stops by once a month, always on a Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock, we talk about cooking. And it's always fun. Thank you.
Thank you very much.